Once again, this is Jim Rao, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you have your Bible there, open it up, 1 Corinthians 11. And I want to give some encouragement today to fathers. I myself am a father of four children, and I praise the Lord for the children that He's given me. I praise the Lord for the opportunity that I've had to raise up children and to guide them and to lead them in the direction that God would have me to do. And so I want to encourage all of you fathers out there. There's a lot of attacks against fathers. There's attacks against marriage. There's attacks against men in general. And so I just pray that we would be encouraged and strengthened by the Word of God, which has a lot to say about fathers, has a lot to say about our position, our authority as fathers. And so I'm going to be speaking today primarily to you fathers, but everyone else out there listening today, pay attention as well, because you're going to be blessed. There's other things that you're going to learn from this that God wants you to know. And so we just praise the Lord for the opportunity here today. Well, I'm going to bring up 4 points here, and they have to do with our position, our place here on this earth as fathers, our position as God has placed us. And so these points are directly from the Word of God, and so there's no error in anything that I'm going to be speaking. There's no error in what I am saying to you today. It may run counter to what we see in the culture. It may run counter to what we are given to know as what comes through the TV and through popular media, but I want you to know that God has ordained a father's place. He has ordained the place of man here on this earth. And in 1 Corinthians 11:3, God spells out that divine placement. He spells out that divine authority. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, he says, "I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." So God laid out the blueprint, the template for his lines of authority. And it said that the head of every man is Christ Jesus, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And in verse 7 in that same chapter, it says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God, but woman is the glory of man." Well, it tells us there that man is the image and the glory of God. What does that mean, that he is the image? Well, he has been made in the image of God. And brother, if you are feeling down today, or if sometime you feel like you're getting beat up and kicked around, I want you to know that you can hold your head high, because you have been made in the image of God. And God, when he made you, he declared it in Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image." Jesus was sitting there beside him and the Holy Spirit. And they said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. Verse 27, "In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." And verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. So the evening and the morning was the sixth day." And so there we have God looking over his creation. He created man, and he said it was very good. He felt that he had created something that was very good, and so he spoke that. And so you, brother out there, you are made in the image of God, and which is his likeness, and you are also made in the glory of God. Well, what does it mean to be made in the glory of God? The glory means that you are made in the splendor, the brilliance, and the honor, the pride. That light which radiates from God's presence is his glory, the Shekinah glory of God, the weight of his presence, and that splendor, that brilliance. And so you are made not only in his likeness, but also you have the splendor and the brilliance. You are the earthly example. You are the earthly resemblance of the Lord God Almighty, and you have His splendor, you have His brilliance, you have His radiance and His pride, and that very light that emanates or radiates from God is in you. And that Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have confessed Him, that Spirit of the living God also resides in you. So therefore, you have the image of God, you have the glory of God, and so you are His representative here in your family and on this earth. You are the representative of God, and you are reconciled back to God. Even though we are broken and we are full of sin because of the fallen nature of man, and I'll talk more about that in just a minute, but even though we are broken and live in a broken and a fallen world, we can be reconciled back to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, back to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 11, nevertheless, neither a man is independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. In other words, we depend on each other. God created us to depend on each other. God created us to need each other. God created us to support and encourage each other, but in terms of lines of authority, in terms of the authority and how God has laid out the template and said, this is my line of authority, just as you have lines of authority in your workplace and in the military and in government institutions and everything else. We have lines of authority in the kingdom of God, and God has laid out for us the lines of authority, and we are over woman, and Christ is over us, and God is over His Son, Jesus Christ. And then in verse 12, for as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are from God. And so we know that all things are from God, and God looked over His creation, and He said, it is very good. And God doesn't make any mistakes, brother. If you had a rough childhood, and if you grew up in a home where you were never given any encouragement, and you could never do anything right, and there was a critical spirit in your home, and people were constantly criticizing you and belittling you, or even worse, maybe abusing you and swearing at you or beating you up or whatever, I want you to know today, God loves you. He makes no accidents. He made no mistakes when He made you. And so His idea for you, His destiny for you that He spoke over you even before you were born, that destiny will be fulfilled, and it can be fulfilled when you start to come into agreement with God's plan and for what He has spoken over you. And when you come into agreement with that, you're going to start to be content. You're going to start to be fulfilled. You're going to start to step out into your calling and to fulfill that perfect plan that God has for you in your life. The second point that I want to make about our life here on this earth as men is that our life on earth is not going to be easy because of the fall of man. And I don't want you to be deceived by preachers that are telling you somehow that, you know, the Christian walk is just a life, a bowl of cherries, and it's a life full of peaches and cream. There are trials, there are tribulations, there are setbacks, there is heartache in every walk of life, whether you're a Christian or not. But I want you to know that your life is going to be full of trials and tribulations. But James says, take joy in tribulations. He says, take joy in trials. In James 1, verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so when you fall into trials, it almost sounds like you're walking along the road and you fall into trials, you fall into traps, you fall into pitfalls. And James says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so as you encounter trials, just think of this. Just think, God, I thank you for these trials, because you're shaping me, molding me. You are shaping me to do something for your kingdom. You're shaping me to be conformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you foreknew me and you predestined me to be conformed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so I thank you for these trials. I thank you, Lord, that you're molding me. I thank you that you're shaping me, that I can have joy in all things, that I can count it all joy, and that I can have patience even when I don't have patience, and that I can have joy even when I don't have joy, and that I can have a perfect work and be lacking in nothing. And if you'll just thank God for every trial and tribulation and for every situation, even when it makes you angry, even when it makes you bitter, even when it makes you uncomfortable, even when you don't understand what God is doing, you just thank him anyway. You keep thanking him because he has your perfect result in mind. He wants you to be lacking in nothing. Well, if we look back at the fall of man, we see in Genesis 3:17, to Adam, God said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and you have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." As a gardener and a farmer, many days out there working in the hot sun and hoeing weeds and chopping out bindweed and working to bring that crop to fruition, bring that crop to market, many times I've thought about this scripture, and it says, "Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." Well, if you know anything about bindweed, you know it's a very tenacious weed, and it wants to take over your garden, it wants to take over your field crops, and every place on the earth has its version of bindweed. It has weeds and thorns and thistles that want to take over the field, and it makes it difficult to cultivate, makes it a challenge to cultivate. And so it's by our sweat and our work and overcoming the challenge of those things that want to steal the crop, overcoming the challenge of those things that make it difficult for just an easy harvest and an easy cultivation and an easy planting. And so there's always challenges, and it goes the same in any kind of job, and not just applies to farming, but in any kind of a job there are challenges. There's always work to be done. There's always greater challenge to achieve something. And if it were easy to achieve, there would be no reward in it. There would be no reward. There would be no satisfaction in doing it if it were easy to achieve. And so, fathers, I encourage you to work hard. I encourage you to meet the challenges head on. I encourage you when you're out there in the field, whether it's encouraging your family, encouraging your children in your walk with the Lord, staying diligent to study your Bible, staying diligent to pray, staying diligent to be in the fellowship. I encourage you to do it with faithfulness and to persevere. He who perseveres to the end shall be saved. And so in the face of toil and sweat, and in the face of that cursing, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the whole world fell into sin. And so we're going to have struggles. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have temptations. And it's not necessarily going to be easy. But Jesus said in John 16:33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so that is the third point that I want to make to you today, is that in face of many challenges, in the face of the cursings that we encounter each and every day in our daily walk, we can overcome. We can be overcomers. We can be victorious through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." Let me tell you, brothers, that this world doesn't have any peace to give. So if you are looking to the world for your peace, if you're looking to drugs or alcohol or pornography or some other types of satisfaction, sexual addiction or entertainment or idols in your life, if you're looking to those to give you peace, you are going to be sadly disappointed if you have not figured that out already, that this world does not have peace to give. The peace that passes all understanding, that peace that really gives you joy and really fulfills you and really completes you and gives you contentment, that peace can only come from serving Jesus Christ and from knowing Him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And so in Psalm 127 it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And I would encourage you, if you're not praying with your wife, if you have a wife, to start praying with her for your children. Start praying with her for your finances. Start praying with her over your job and over your home. Because what is coming here to America, the trials and tribulations that are coming to America, are going to present all of us with great challenges that we've never seen before. As the end time draws near, the challenges, the trials, the tribulations, the thorns and the thistles are going to become greater and greater. And they're going to knock people off their feet. They're going to knock people down. And so I would encourage you, if you have a wife, to start praying with your wife, over your family, over your children, over your workplace, over everything that you touch. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. If you don't have the Lord in on the building of your house, if the Lord is not intimately involved in the building of your house, you need to get Him in on it right now. You need to start praying each and every day over your house. You need to ask the Lord to come in and to saturate your house. You need to maybe even go around your house, if you've not done this, and take some anointing oil and anoint the windows and anoint the doors and anoint everything in the house, all the entry points into the house, the garage door, and just ask the Lord's favor and kick the devil out, bind the demons and cast them out of your house, and do that over your children. Do it over your children's bedroom and pray that the Lord would come in and saturate that house. The Holy Spirit would fill that house and there would be no portals of entry for the devil, and he would have no place or authority in your house. I've done this over my own house. I've done it over other people's houses. I walk the perimeter of my farm property every year and take oil and pray the blood of Jesus over the perimeter of my farm property. And as you do that, as you take authority over the devil, then God will bless you. He will show favor and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And so as you delight yourself in the Lord, what does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? Well, it means to serve Him, to act as if you're waiting on the Lord, act as if you are serving Him, like you're a server to Jesus Christ, that He comes into a fine restaurant and you are His waiter and you serve Him. You try to please Him in every way. You try to meet His every need and minister to Him. And as you do that, as you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, back to Psalm 127, it says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And so we need to pray about who we vote into office to guard the city. We need to pray about who we vote into the office of president. And with the election coming up here in a year and a half, it's very important that we stay abreast of the candidates, know what they think, know what they believe, know if they are men of God, and vote for those who walk with the Lord, vote for those who have good, sound ideas. And if you'll do that, we are going to put watchmen in place over our cities. We're going to put watchmen in place over this country who will be able to guard the city in the name of the Lord. And in Psalm 127, verse 2, it says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. And beloved, if you're not sleeping well, if you have to take pills to get you to sleep, and you wake up in night terrors and nightmares, you need more of Jesus Christ in your life. You need to spend time shut off the news before you go to bed and just spend time on your knees. Ask the Lord to give you that peace, and you don't need to work 16 hours a day. Yeah, maybe there's times when you need to work a second job or work some special hours, but for the most part, you just work normal work day, and then you go home and you bless your wife, you bless your family, you bless your household, you bless your ministry, and God will give you the peace to sleep well each and every night. Well, the last point that I'm going to make here is that if you work hard and enjoy the things God has given you, the people, the possessions, the ministries, whatever it is that God has given you, God will bless you. He will fulfill you. That is happiness. That is contentment. That is fulfillment here on this earth. And I can tell you, brother and sister, after having lived for many years here on this earth and done many different things, the most fulfilling thing you can do and the safest place for you to be is to serve the Lord. No matter where you are, serve the Lord and do His will and be in the center of His will for your life. Many people speak over me when I tell them I'm going to Africa and I'll be making my sixth trip to Africa here in a couple of months to preach the word, to stand up on a platform and preach in crusades and revival settings over there in Africa. And many people speak over me fear, and I appreciate their intentions, I appreciate their sentiments, but I want you to know, brother and sister, the safest place to be, the most contented place for you to be, the most fulfilling place for you to be is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to do His will in your life. And when you do that, you're going to be in a safe place. Psalm 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." And so if you're a father today, I honor you today, I bless you today, I ask the Lord to bless you today. And if you have children, maybe they're not living with you, maybe your children are grown, or your children may be with someone else, wherever they're at today, I ask the Lord to bless your children. And I thank the Lord for your children. I ask the Lord to repair broken relationships. If you have broken relationship with your child, keep praying for God to restore it. God is a God of restoration. He is a God that can reconcile all things unto Himself. You will see in your own life that God is able to restore relationships. And if you have a broken relationship or many broken relationships with your children, I just pray that God will restore it, and you keep believing. You don't walk by sight, but you walk by faith. You keep believing that God is able to restore that, and He will. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of children. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Well, Psalm 128, verse 1, I'm going to wrap up with this scripture here. It says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. And when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children shall be like olive plants all around your table. And behold, thus shall the man be blessed who feared the Lord." Well, that is the prescription, that is the formula for contentment, for peace, for success and happiness here on this earth. Even if you're divorced, even if you are separated from your family, from your children, I ask the Lord to bless you this day. I ask the Lord to fulfill you this day, to fill you up with His peace, and to restore broken relationships. And I just thank the Lord that He is able to do that. I thank the Lord for the men out there today. I encourage you, men, be strong in the Lord. I encourage you, men, be strong in your Bible study. Be strong in your prayer time. Be strong in the fellowship and take heart and believe that God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, thank you for listening today. If you stay tuned here in just a minute, you're going to hear contact information. We invite each and every one of you to partner with this ministry. We need your partnership. We need your prayers. We need your financial donations. We're going to be going to Africa the 1st of August and preaching in Burundi and in Kenya and in Congo. And so I invite your prayers and your financial donations for that. And we just praise the Lord for the opportunity to share with you today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.